his fleshy face twinkled with intelligence and an unabated curiosity for life, but they were the eyes of a sensualist and an egoist. Enough of the man, for he's dead now, poor devil. Dead at the very time that he had made sure that he had at last discovered the elixir of life. It is not with his complex character that I have to deal, but with a very strange and inexplicable incident which had its rise in my visit to him in the early spring of the year 82. I'd known Dacre in England, for my researches in the Assyrian room of the British Museum had been conducted at the time when he was endeavoring to establish a mystic and esoteric meaning in the Babylonian tablets, and this community of interest had brought us together. Chance remarks had led to a daily conversation, and that to something verging upon friendship. I had promised him that my next visit to Paris I would call upon him. At that time, when I was able to fulfill my compact, I was living in a cottage at Fontainebleau, and as the evening trains were inconvenient, he asked me to spend the night in his house. "I've only that one spare couch," said he, pointing to a broad sofa in his large salon. "I hope that you will manage to be comfortable there." It was a singular bedroom, with its high walls of brown volumes, for there could be no more agreeable furniture to a bookworm like myself, and there was no scent so pleasant to my nostrils as that faint, subtle reek which comes from an ancient book. I assured him that I could desire no more charming chamber and no more congenial surroundings. "If the fittings are neither convenient nor conventional, they are at least costly," said he, looking round at his shelves. "I've expended nearly a quarter of a million of money upon these objects which surround you. Books, weapons, gems, carvings, tapestries, images. There's hardly a thing here which is not its history, and it's generally one worth telling." He was seated, as he spoke, at one side of the open fireplace, and I at the other. His reading table was on his right, and a strong lamp above it ringed it with a very vivid circle of golden light. A half-rolled palimpsest lay in the center, and around it were many quaint articles of bric-a-brac. One of these was a large funnel, such as used for filling wine casks. It appeared to be made of black wood, and to be rimmed with a discolored brass. "That's a curious thing," I remarked. "What's the history of that?" "Ah," said he, "it is the very question which I've had occasion to ask myself. I would give a good deal to know. Take it in your hands and examine it." I did so, and found that what I had imagined to be wood was in reality leather, though age had dried it into an extreme hardness. It was a large funnel, and might hold a quart when full. The brass rim encircled the wide end, but the narrow was also tipped with metal. "What do you make of it?" asked Dacre. "I should imagine that it belonged to some vintner or maltster in the Middle Ages," said I. "I've seen in England leathern drinking flagons of the 17th century, blackjacks."